Ladies, puberty, PMT, pregnancy, the menopause. Yes, your hormones have been taking you for a ride for years. Hot flushes on the bus, menopausal meltdowns in the office, whatever those hormones have made you do, Jenny Smith and Kate Bouse are here to lend a sympathetic ear. Why not write in and share your hormonal hell with the girls? Don't worry, they've heard it all before. It's time to put those hormones in the firing line. This is Dear Hormones. Welcome to your safe space, ladies. Coming up on today's show, Auntie Joy is back with another top tip for dealing with hot flushes, a brain fog tale at its finest, and a rather embarrassing side effect of the menopause that's causing one woman a spot of bother.
Welcome back to Dear Hormones. Hi, Kate.
Hello, Jenny. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. Just very quickly, you can probably tell I can't speak again, Kate. I lost my voice from a party last night, so big apologies, 4 a.m. to bed last night.
You've still got it.
Oh, yeah, but that's why Kate will be reading all the... We've got a couple of quite long letters, and I'm actually really pleased about that, because I can sit back and give my voice a rest. Anyway, Kate, last week, obviously that episode we recorded last week was actually recorded before Christmas, where we were predicting what we might be getting for Christmas, I think. And you said you were hoping for a nice lightweight dressing gown.
That's right.
We've been on tenterhooks this whole time.
Did
you get it?
Was that in Santa's sack? That was very much in Santa's sack, and I love my new dressing gown.
I'm so relieved.
Thank you, Father Christmas.
I'm so relieved. And then I wanted a homemade card, and hey presto.
Did you get it?
I got a homemade card. Woo! And actually, Kate, I put it on our Dear Hormones page because it was so funny. My son had basically made a very sort of menopausal Christmas card for me, which said, I have been, and there were three boxes, I have been naughty, nice, menopausal, and then he ticked the box for nice and ticked the box for menopausal and written a really lovely message inside, because obviously, as I said before, you know, all my awful hormonal symptoms had been coming back until I changed my dose, and I explained that all to my son, and then he wrote a really, really lovely message inside, kind of forgiving me actually, which brought a tear to the eye. But it was a lovely Christmas.
That is lovely. I got a homemade card as well, Jenny.
Yes, Kate.
Yeah,
from all three of them.
From all three. And this, I hope this doesn't make you jealous here, because they've sort of stepped it up.
Oh.
And they wrote a song for me and my husband.
Stop it.
Yes, they did. So they did it to the tune of I Saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus. And it's, I think it's We Love Mummy and Daddy So Much. Yes, We Do, or something. They haven't yet. This is quite typical for our family. They said, we're going to perform this to you. And they've rehearsed it, but we haven't yet got round to having the performance. I mean, we're now mid to late January, and we haven't yet had the performance. So probably we'll have the children's performance sometime in July.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. But we've been given the words, and it's very sweet.
Oh, that's so nice. I remember you said to me before that they used to make you vouchers, but they never actually did any of the vouchers. I promised that they'd do this, that, and the next thing for you in voucher form, but then they add your tasks. Never happens.
The thought is always there.
The thought is the main thing, isn't it? It is the main thing.
Totally.
Anyway, just also very quickly, next week's going to be a good show, because menopause guru Naomi Potter is going to be answering some questions for us. So that'll be exciting. So make sure you tune in next week, everybody. Okay. Listen, the first letter is very exciting, Kate, because guess who it's from?
I can't guess.
Auntie Joy.
She's my fave. I love Auntie Joy.
She is back, because we have not had a letter from her this season. And it's a lovely one. It's a good one. I think a lot of people might relate to this, actually, although slightly extreme what she does at the end. But I can kind of understand why. Dear Jenny and Kate, the other day I was recalling the misery of night sweats, frequent visitors to the menopausal woman. I'd had my fair share of night sweats and daytime hot flushes, trying out this and that remedy from various health shops and chemists before. Finally, practically snatching HRT from my GP's hand as she patiently offered it to me for the 100th time. But before this, one winter's night, I experienced the worst bout of night sweats that any woman should be expected to suffer. I had awoken in the night, literally drenched through with perspiration. The sheets were sticking to my flaming body, and my hair was tangled in a damp mass as I tossed and turned in my sleep. Poor Joy. I stumbled to the bathroom, seeking the relief of a cool shower, only to find a huge spider sitting staring at me from the shower tray. I couldn't wake my husband to come and remove it. He was away on a course. Neither could I wake my son, as he had exams the next day. And then I noticed that the bathroom had a distinct pale light glowing around the window. Snow. We'd had a significant fall during the early hours. You've guessed it. I opened the back door and welcomed in the icy draft that met me on the doorstep. But then, not being satisfied with its cooling effect, I took a running jump and flung my naked body into a snowdrift that had built up alongside the shed. Oh, how welcome, how instantly soothing this seemed to me. Hauling myself up, I realised I'd flung myself into the wheelbarrow. But no matter, I put out the fire and a welcome calm returned.
I never know what Auntie Joy is going to do next.
I know.
She's like, well, was this the middle of the night? So it was the early hours. Okay.
Yeah. only Auntie Joy would do it, wouldn't she?
Only she.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if the neighbours were watching?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll tell you, actually, I bet it during this time, she actually lived on top of a mountain in Wales. So she actually wouldn't have even had any neighbours. So yeah, she knew she could just, the only people that would have been watching would have been the sheep and maybe a cow. But actually, it sounds like really appealing, doesn't it? Like when you are, I mean, like, you haven't had the full hot flushes yet, have you, Kate?
Not fully.
Okay.
But it's like going to a hot sauna, isn't it? And
yes.
Then, you know, if you're in a northern country somewhere, that's what you do.
That's exactly.
You go and throw yourself into the snow after when you're drenched in sweat.
Yeah.
So she was doing that.
She was just being very Swedish.
Swedish dream.
Yeah. Well done, Joy. I think that's lovely. So anyway, we've got a little bit of snow coming, I think, haven't we? It's starting to get quite cold. So there's another little tip from Auntie Joy. Do you remember her first one was the cold water bottle, so filling up a hot water bottle with cold water and shoving it up her jumper.
Yes.
And now here she is running out naked, flinging herself in a wheelbarrow loaded up with snow. That's
into it. Any of you want to try that out? Yeah, brilliant. I think the one where she weed in the in the laundry basket, maybe we won't be trying that one out.
No, but... yeah, steer clear of that one. That was my favourite one that she gave us, actually, that story.
Oh, yeah. Auntie Joy, how great to hear from her.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Joy, and keep them coming.
Here comes letter number two, Jenny. It's time for you to rest your voice. This is entitled Dancing with Hormones. Dear Jenny and Kate, I am clearly on the brink of perimenopause, or more probably, full on in it. It has just become my reality that I am dancing with hormones all of the time. It's causing all of the rage and all of the tears, but the most debilitating, brutal act of hormones for me is definitely brain fog. Or I've kind of decided that I might start calling it brain full. And I don't know if it's Christmas, the time of year, or if it's me in perimenopause or just frankly having too many kids, but I've realised that my brain is full. And I think that's what the brain fog is. It's just brain full. I think perimenopause is kind of like we're going through an upgrade. And during that period, our brain is full. I find that I cannot multitask anymore, which is a bummer for everyone else. But where this seems to play out with the greatest impact on me is when I'm travelling between places. So it might be like the other night when I just got on the wrong train. Ironically, I got on that train because I was listening to an audiobook about perimenopause and I clearly wasn't concentrating and I couldn't do two things at once. And I knew that I had to wait for the next train. But then I heard an announcement saying, get on this train, blah, 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 blah. But all I heard was, get on this train. And so I just blindly followed because I was listening to my lovely audiobook. That led to a very late evening.
I can relate.
You can imagine, can't you?
Yeah.
You just had this like instruction.
Yeah.
Get on this train.
Yes.
Because, oh, yes.
Exactly what she's saying though, with the brain being full, you know, so she's half listening to one thing, half paying attention to something else. There's not enough space in there to properly process all of the things, you know?
Totally. But the example I thought I would share with you from this week relates to my nearly teenager and I driving back from swimming. I got home and just began reversing the car onto the drive. I saw an opportunity. It's not often that there is the space on the road to reverse the car in, and I saw the opportunity to do that and thought I'd take it. And I was feeling a little bit smug about that. And I was reversing on, and my daughter said, "What are you doing, Mum? What are you doing?" And I was like this. "Can you just, I'm reversing. Can you please just be quiet?" Now, everybody in my family knows the rules when I'm reversing. They go silent. I mean, sometimes they even turn the music off because I absolutely cannot multitask. I can relate to that.
That gets harder in the menopause.
That is one of my golden rules. When I'm reversing, everybody has to be silent. So I was like, "I'm reversing. Can you just stop speaking?" in that kind of tone. And I just carried on going. My daughter tried to ask me again and I got really irritated. "Stop talking!" I screeched at her. And then all of a sudden, realization struck. My hedge wasn't there. That was strange. And hold on. There was a fence where there shouldn't be a fence. The shocking reality dawns on me that this wasn't my driveway.
Oh my God.
Oh, luckily, I was able to have a good laugh with my daughter about this latest crazy brainful moment of mine. But that wasn't even the worst of it. I mean, that was embarrassing enough. But then I pulled out into the street and I got myself into this sort of big traffic jam. Cars were coming one way and coming the other way, and none of them were giving me enough room to turn the car back around and onto my own driveway. I don't know if you've ever seen that scene in Austin Powers.
Yes.
I haven't seen it, actually.
Yes.
Where he's in a little car and he's just trying to move and he basically gets himself completely stuck.
Yeah, he basically has to do something like a 300-point turn. Yeah, back and forth. It's hilarious.
Well, that was me. And I was laughing, but really, I just wanted to cry.
Oh, no.
Oh. And honestly, I felt like giving up and just sitting there in the middle of the road and to hell with the consequences. You can really imagine. It's just like, I just like give up. I can't do this anymore.
And also with the kids in the back as well, experiencing the whole thing.
Luckily, a couple of the other drivers, as if sensing my despair, performed tricky reversing manoeuvres in order to free me and the cars which had piled up all around me. But by now I was so embarrassed, I didn't dare attempt to park on my own drive. I decided the only thing to do would be to drive around the block a couple of times until everybody who was involved in the entire sorry situation wasn't there anymore.
That makes me laugh. It's like running away, isn't it? I'm going to run away. And then we're just going to pretend it's not happened. And then I'm just going to come on back into my own driveway this time.
And just hope that my neighbours hadn't witnessed it. And then finally, park the car on my own driveway. And thankfully, have another good laugh with my daughter about that.
What's her name, by the way, Kate?
Do we have Mel.
Mel, okay.
The truth of it is, that is just an everyday story. There are probably about 4 or 5 instances like that in my day, honestly. So, brain full. Basically, the only way I am able to remember anything at the moment is if I let something else out of my head. And it's basically a completely unfair exchange. So I'll have really critical information, like something I have to do for work, or my PIN number.
Oh, yes.
Like something that is incredibly useful to me. And what happens is something pops up on the class WhatsApp that I'm not interested in and I don't need to know. And then 5 other things in response to that. And that's it. My brain lets that stuff in and it dissipates the other stuff that I really want to hold on to. So that is what drives me crazy. It's the fact that my brain, is making bad decisions because it's just taking all the information in and leaking all the information out. And I really wish I had some kind of filtering system or a way to keep hold of the good stuff and ignore the really rubbish stuff. I think that I've just got to have the WhatsApp groups off. They are basically the bane of my life. Anyway, this is turning into a rant. There is my little parking debacle. My debacle.
Oh, like what she's done there. Well done, Mel.
With love, Mel.
Oh my goodness. Doesn't she, the way she's explained that is absolutely spot on, isn't it? I've never thought of it like that before, but brain full. What she's saying there about one thing coming in, so you have to let something else go. That's why I'm missing things left, right and center. Even now I'm on the HRT, actually, I'm finding my brain is full. And maybe that's part of just the world we're in when you're in your 50s, you know, well, late 40s for you. But, you know, we do have a lot of things on anyway. So combine that with hormones. How the hell is our brain meant to cope?
Yeah.
You know,
it's too much.
Yeah. The filing system would be a lovely thing, wouldn't it? If someone could just market that. Some sort of in-brain filing system.
Absolutely. To filter through the stuff that you really need and the stuff that you don't need.
Yeah. And I find if I don't do something straight away, I mean, you've said to me, didn't you, at the beginning of this podcast, you said to me, oh, Jenny, don't forget to remind me to tell you about so-and-so after the podcast. And I said, well, actually, guys, let's see whether we do remember at the end of this podcast to do that thing.
You said write it down.
I said write it down because I will definitely forget. And you know that you're going to forget. Our brains are full.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I do like to do things immediately. As soon as I think I have an idea, I want to do it right then and there. And that is because I think I'm going to forget.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that whole, the debacle. I just love that story. I mean, the fact that, Mel, you really parked on someone else's drive thinking it was yours. She's really not able to.
No, she didn't see it. She couldn't see. All she was doing was parking. She was focusing on that one thing. I need to reverse the car now. She was going through the logistics of parking and not actually looking beyond that. You know, the brain was too full to see that's not my drive. She just knew she had to put the car in reverse. She had to turn the wheel this way. Everyone had to be quiet. And so she just went through those motions.
Such a stressful situation that she got herself in a complete tangle when she came out onto the road. Oh, Mel.
I know.
I can visualise it. I can imagine that happening to me, actually.
Yes.
Fortunately, I don't have a driveway. So yeah. It can't. It's probably a good thing.
I hope it does happen to you. It'll be hilarious. especially as you don't have a driveway.
Yes.
Oh, you had a little prang the other day, didn't you, in your car? That was probably just because your brain was full, Kate.
That's probably why.
Full of all wonderful other things.
Oh, yes.
More interesting than parking.
Totally.
That's all it was. Mel, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I love how she wrote that as well. That just felt, you know, really...
Real.
Sorry, that's the word.
We can all relate to it completely.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. It's kind of halfway through that. It was reminding me of something that happened to me. I would have been hormonal at the time. I would have been menopausal. But I don't, whether this was anything to do with it, I don't know. But I'd been on a class camping trip. And it was, this campsite's quite close to where we live. And we'd all had the most freezing cold night. It was just unbearable. So I said to my husband, sod it, I'm going home and I'm getting some duvets and I'm bringing them back. So I left the camping trip, went home, got the duvets. And on my way back, I suddenly got myself stuck. Or there was loads and loads of traffic because there was this huge lorry parade that was going on. And it was all like for our heroes, for the, you know, for soldiers. It was like Help for Heroes,
right.
big kind of procession of lorries, which so my sat nav was taking me all around the houses, you know. So I kind of did this turn off and went off down this little tiny country lane. And it kind of brought me back in to the main road where all the lorries are. And I just thought, if I don't get in this now, I am never getting back to this camping trip. So I just thought, well, the sat nav's brought me here. And I turned into the main road and found myself, Kate, in the middle of the procession. And then I realised what was happening. There were people lining the streets, honking horns, waving banners for the Help for Heroes. The lorries were doing this thing. And then suddenly it was my little car squashed between these lorries. And I was like, so people were kind of waving and I found myself honking my horn.
Did you just wave back?
And flashed my lights like I was it was normal. Like I was just riding it out. But I was literally in the middle of a charity parade because I was impatient enough and my brain was too full to kind of work out any other way to get back to the camping trip, you know. That just reminded
That's
me of
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant. You were dancing with hormones, just like Mel.
I was dancing with hormones big time on that trip. Yeah, that was
Jenny,
just...
Jenny, I have to say, you do tell a good story. And speaking of this...
Oh.
Well, you tell all of our listeners so that they're aware. This week, Jenny has told a good story and she's told it somewhere that some of you might have seen on the television. Jenny has been on Graham Norton's red chair this week. I was so excited last night when I watched this. I can't tell you.
Kate, let me just give you a little behind the scenes on how that even came about. So I wanted to go and see Graham Norton. My mum's a huge fan of the show and you can apply for free tickets. So I applied for the free tickets and it said, do you have a red chair story? And I only put a red chair story on the application form because I thought, oh, this might guarantee me entrance, you know, and it did. So they came back to me and I got priority tickets, which means you definitely get to go to the show. But it didn't mean I was definitely going to do my story. Anyway, the day of Graham Norton, I suddenly got this phone call from an unidentified number. And it was the researcher saying, oh, we really love your story. Would you mind going on the show tonight and telling it? At that point, my legs literally went to jelly and I had to go and sit down. My mouth was dry. My heart was racing. And this didn't stop for hours. Like that feeling didn't stop for hours. And I said, yeah, okay, yeah, I can read it out for you. And then she said on the phone, do you mind just telling me now on the phone, like as a little rehearsal, so she could hear me telling it. And at that point, again, everything went to jelly. And I was like, oh, okay, stumbling over my words. Anyway, got to the show and I took my mum, as I said. And then they were asking around in the audience, has anyone else got a red chair story? And my mum has a brilliant story. So I said, yeah, my mum does. And we both got on that red chair, Kate. It was unbelievable. There were four of us that recorded, like, so that four of us actually did the red chair. So we knew they don't often have time for all four people. So we were fully expecting to be cut from the show, but actually somebody else was cut and we got on. Yeah. I was so nervous.
Two of the three people on the red chair were you and your mum.
Yeah.
And one person got flipped. It wasn't you and it wasn't your mum, was it?
We got to
walk. Your stories were proper good.
We got to walk. So yeah, you should find it. Actually look up Graham Norton. It was the episode with Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. So if you search for that on BBC iPlayer, you'll see me and my mum, who is an absolute legend. Her story, she was a district nurse. So just wait and hear the story. But, you know, it's the kind of story we used to have over every single Sunday lunch while she was working. We just got used to this stuff. And she totally stole the show. They loved her. It's a great story. But yeah, what an exciting day.
So exciting. Yeah, I could. So pleased for you.
Yeah, thanks.
You do have a lot of good stories.
But you can tell, I think if you know me particularly, you can tell how nervous I am sitting on that chair. And honestly, Kate, it's terrifying sitting waiting for him to talk to you because you can't see him. You're just backstage and you just have to look directly into a camera. And
what do you see? What's the room like that the red chair is
in? It's not a room, Kate. It's lit. You know where the backdrop to the set is?
Yes.
That's just like a piece of wood, basically, paint on one side. Behind that is where I'm sitting on the red chair.
So right, literally right behind all of them.
Yeah, in fact, okay. I'll put the picture, the behind the scenes picture on our Instagram page so you can see what it's like. But it's literally you're surrounded by leads and wires and people running around and someone's making drinks here. And it's just like chaos. And then there's this red chair in the middle of all this chaos.
I always picture it being a little special room, a little quiet room.
Yeah, so did I. No. It's not at all like that. But yeah, it was really exciting. I mean, more than anything, I'm just really pleased my mum got to go on because she was, she's the uber fan of that show. She's just watched it forever. And I think the fact that she's on, but she wasn't nervous doing it.
No, she wasn't. Being an uber fan, that's amazing how calm she was. It was like she does this every day of the week.
Yeah, she really nailed it,
cool,
didn't she?
Cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, but she said her nerves came afterwards, leading up to watching it live on the telly. She said she couldn't sleep that night. She was up till 4 a.m. She was just so panicked about what she was going to look like, what it was going to seem like. But everything, she said, she just could not relax. So she had her panic that I had before the show. She had it after.
I hope she's had lots of people sending her nice messages since the show. You'll have to give me her number, Jenny. I'll send her a nice message.
Yeah, please do. I've been inundated with my WhatsApp groups talking about my mum. Everyone's like, yeah, you were great, Jenny. Your mum was amazing. I know she was.
You were amazing, Jenny, as well.
I'm glad I did it. It kind of fought my fears there. But you know what I was worried about? Brain fog. So I had to rehearse that letter in my head. As soon as they said they wanted me on, for hours before I got to that show, I kept telling the story over and over in my head because I knew there was this big chance that I sat on the chair and my mind would go blank. Now I'm on the correct dose of HRT. Thank God that didn't happen, but that could well have happened, a few months ago. That totally could have happened. Anyway, yeah, it was very exciting. Right, we've got another, this is a short one, so I can do this one to give my voice a rest again. This letter is called Windy and it comes from Tina. She says, Dear Jenny and Kate, why is it that I've become so windy since hitting the menopause. I looked it up online the other day and was relieved to see I'm not the only one. It is nigh on impossible for me to break wind without making an almighty racket. My family think I'm doing it on purpose, but I'm not. I just can't help it. They come rattling out of me like a diesel train. The other morning, I got out of bed and went for a wee. And without...
Sorry, I've got the letter in front of me and I just read ahead. Come on.
The other morning, I got out of bed and went for a wee. And without warning, I farted for a full 20 seconds. I'm not joking. The other day, I let one go at the dinner table, not on purpose, mind you. And the noise was so alarming that my kids looked at me stunned and asked me what that noise was. They surmised it must have been a lorry or something going by outside. I eventually owned up and their faces couldn't compute how that noise could possibly have been made by a human being. My biggest fear is that I'm doing it in my sleep and I'm about to go on a girls' trip to Brighton, so things could get really embarrassing. If anyone has any ideas how to help me, I'm all ears. That's brilliant, isn't it?
I just laughed through that whole letter. I've got to, I don't know why I find it so funny. Why do we find farting so funny?
I know. Oh, Tina, I feel really sorry for her. I mean, I must say, I'm also a bit paranoid about that too. That has actually got worse in the menopausal years. And I know a few of my friends have said the same. I love the fact that she did it at the dinner table and the kids just assumed it was something like a lorry. That it could possibly have been anything that she'd done.
So Jenny, having experienced it yourself, do you have any ideas to help Tina?
No, and especially the girls' weekend actually would freak me out. I could see why she'd be, I mean, I don't think I've got to that level yet, but who knows, maybe I have. Maybe it's happening in my sleep. I've been on a girls' weekend this year, I should ask. No, last year. I should ask. Oh, no, I don't want to know.
Not to know.
But what could you do? I mean, what advice could there possibly be? I mean, like, if it's just coming out, like, without realising it.
I mean, my grandma used to just burp all the time, like, really burpy. And I guess it's a sort of a different way, isn't it? Like, letting gas out. And she swore by Bisodol.
Oh.
It was all Bisodol.
What is Bisodol?
Well, I don't even know if they sell it anymore, and Mum used to always say to me, you know, if you've got a sore tummy, take a bit of Bisodol.
There you go,
but
Tina.
I guess it's just a sort of, you know, something to, like, an anti-wind kind of, so there must be some sort of anti-wind kind of, and probably some ones that are not, that are probably fairly, what's the word I'm looking for? Holistic.
Gentle? I don't know.
I know
what you mean, like a herbally thing.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I'm sure there must be some remedies out there. Maybe we need to research this.
Yes, okay. We'll find out for you, Tina. We'll try and, maybe we could ask Naomi Potter.
That's a good one for her. We'll ask her that.
Also, I do know that if you've got piles, sorry to bring this up on the podcast, but if you've got piles, it can be very noisy. I know that. Yeah.
I think things
rattling through.
You don't need to explain.
So maybe, and I wonder if piles are more common in the menopause. Perhaps that's the reason. And if that's the case, Tina, maybe have you got piles? And do you need to go and have that checked? Because you can have piles removed or something, can you? Or is there pile cream? I don't know.
Tina, I'm so sorry because I don't know why you don't have piles.
Oh, I'm sorry for everyone listening to this if you're eating.
I know I need to blow my nose because I found that all so hilarious. So.
I'll edit that bit out then, Kate. Go on. Okay, you sorted, Kate.
We're back.
Okay, back in the room. Tina, I'm really sorry for you about that. But when you go on your girls' trip to Brighton, do you mind sending us another letter? Oh, I know what you could do. Just for us. Could you set your phone to record when you go to bed? And then listen back the next day, see if it happened. Because I don't mind playing that out. In fact, I think there actually is another podcast where they do that, Kate.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I can't think what it is. Yeah, it's a good podcast. Yeah, and they sometimes do that. People send in their audio. Tina, I want to hear it. Let's go. Anyway, okay.
So I've got our final letter here. This one is called Q Rage.
As in cue the rage or as in being in a queue?
As in being in a queue.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yes. And this comes to us from Rachel. She's in London.
Let's go.
And after all our giggliness from the last letter, I'm hoping I'm not going to be even more giggly now because Jenny has just poured us both a glass of wine.
We don't normally record in the evening. That's why we're normally in the morning, aren't we, Kate? But actually, it's early evening now, so we're like, we deserve it.
It's all too exciting. Dear Jenny and Kate, writes Rachel, had a severe case of passive-aggressive behaviour in a well-known sports shop the other day, which I can only put down to menopausal impatience. It's different to other bouts of impatience that I experience. It's more intense. I feel more justified and so very, very wronged.
Oh, now that's a phrase you've used before, Kate.
That is absolutely. I do remember.
Your ragey story. You said you felt so wronged.
About the mess in our house. I do feel wronged.
Yeah. How is that for you now? Are we still feeling wronged?
Yeah. Before I even went to the counter, I had already predicted that there would be an almighty queue. And just knowing this had started to make my blood boil. And sure enough, what seemed like the entire population of London was standing in line, waiting for just one person to serve them. Typical, I muttered to myself. Why me? Why?
Also, she hasn't said the shop, has she? She's probably being quite careful what she says here, but I know full well what shop she's in there.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I do.
Okay, yeah. I think I can possibly hazard a guess. Why do you think you know?
Because I've been in this... every time I go in this particular sports shop, that's happening to me.
Oh.
She could be a local lady. It might be the same shop. Oh, nice. Every time I've been in this particular shop, wherever it is, and I've been in this particular shop around the country, Kate,
okay. Yeah.
There never seems to be enough staff members serving at the till. I actually feel like I'm this woman now. I'm angry on her behalf.
Sports Direct, Decathlon, JD Sports.
You've mentioned it, but let's not... But let's not go into it because I don't want, you know, any comeback.
Right.
Listen, we have a lot of listeners to this podcast, Kate. There's 30 or 40 people. Yeah. There's 30 or 40 people out there.
Yeah. There's people that are all around the world as well, aren't
there? All around the world. There's
the Netherlands.
Definitely one in Kenya. Yeah. So we've got to be very careful what we say here.
Right. Okay.
Carry on.
It was then that I spied two more assistants standing behind another till. Chatting.
Oh, no, that winds me up. Oh, sorry. I do feel like I am this woman because I used to work in a shop, Kate. And there is no way there's just no way we would have allowed there to be any form of queue and be standing behind the counter chatting. It was not allowed. I was all about customer stuff. I'm actually on my high horse now.
You really are.
But go on, carry on. But I'm so with her. What's her name? What's her name? Rachel. Rachel, I am with you. Carry on. I'm annoyed. Sorry, I'm going to shut up now. Carry on.
I thought your voice was bad, Jenny. Yeah. You couldn't speak.
I know, but I'm annoyed for her because this does get me annoyed. Carry on. Doing it again. Go.
Okay. Standing behind another till chatting. Chatting!
Yes.
May I remind you that there was a massive queue and only one person serving. Leave this to me, I said, to the man in front of me who looked confused. Off I go and plonk my sporty goods in front of the chatty pair and start getting my purse out.
Oh, I just love that she knows they're not serving, but she's got her purse out.
This till is closed, they say in unison in surly voices that definitely had a hint of fuck you, bitch, about them. Or did I imagine that?
Oh, no, I don't think you did. Not if it's the shop I'm thinking about.
Oh, Jenny. Oh, sorry. There's a queue right in front of you in case you haven't noticed, I said, gesturing behind me. And there's just one till open. And since you two aren't doing anything, I assumed you'd be opening up, right? I used to work in a shop, so I know. Is this you?
Is it you? I swear, no, but is this me? Have I got a twin out there? Stop it. Is someone copying my life? Okay, go on. What does she say?
I used to work in a shop, so I know you won't want to keep any customers waiting.
Yes, Rachel. That's exactly right. When you worked in a shop, you see all us shopkeepers stick together. And we know that the customer is always right, Kate, and you never leave the customer waiting. My shop was Laura Ashley.
I know it was. Yeah. I know.
And customer service was key at that shop.
Well, I remember because I used to go into Laura Ashley with my mum because, as you know, I lived very close to Bedford, and that was our local. My mum loved Laura Ashley, and I always think that you and I probably met each other.
I like to
you
think I served your mum a nice floral dress one day.
Almost certainly did.
Or some wallpaper.
I do feel, and I don't know whether I've imagined it, but I feel I remember you as being like a glamorous lady, a glamorous young, person in a wraparound. Look, do you wear a wraparound dress?
This is I couldn't tell you, but I never felt glamorous there, that's for sure. We used to get a discount on those clothes, and they weren't really geared up for 17-year-old girls. They were very much geared up for our age group now. And I remember trying to trendy these things up, and it never worked. But I did work with my best friend now, Charlotte. That's how I met her. She lives in London with me now, but she worked in Laura Ashley, how we met. And she was super glamorous, and she might well have had a wraparound dress.
I might remember her as
well. She was also modelling at the time, so I think you're remembering Charlotte, not me.
Anyway, we're completely digressing. This is the fault of the wine, so we probably shouldn't do evening recording.
No.
But okay.
Anyway, where are we? So she...
You won't want to keep any customers waiting. You need to wait for the other till, the girl said in her ever-increasing bitchy voice. Holding all the cards and knowing it.
So that made me laugh as well.
The not-so-little hormonal voice in my head was completely incensed by this remark. My stomach was in knots. It's always the same in here, I barked. There's always a queue, and there's always hundreds of you wandering around doing absolutely nothing, I said as I skulked back to the end of the line. I noticed the gentleman in the queue couldn't make eye contact with me. After what felt like an eternity, I was finally served. But the entire time I waited, I made sure to give the two teenagers the evils.
Oh yeah, that would have helped.
The entire scenario was eating me up inside. On my way out, I spotted three more staff members hanging around a pile of sweatshirts. I love the detail. And as I swept past them, I shouted, there's a massive queue down there while all you are standing up here doing absolutely nothing. For the love of God, do something about it. And I stormed off in a fit of rage.
Oh, Rachel, can we be best friends? Can you please make yourself known to us right now? Does that ever get you annoyed, that sort of thing, Kate? I'm not very patient anyway. I've noticed that.
I'm trying to think of that sort of thing. Not hugely. No.
Okay. I'm going to monitor that as you go through the perimenopause then.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think I'm very typically English like that.
Oh, are you? Don't make a fuss.
Must stand in the queue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that's what the menopause did for me. You know, the whole kind of English thing, don't make a fuss. The menopause flipped that on its head and it was like, make a fuss.
Thank you so much, everybody, for writing in. We will be sending your Dear Hormones badges out to you. And just a reminder that our email address is dearhormones@yahoo.com, or you can message us on Instagram @dearhormones.
Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. Hope we didn't ramble on too much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Dear Hormones with Jenny Smith and Kate Bouse. If you've got a story to share, email the girls at dearhormones@yahoo.com or they're @dearhormones on Instagram. Until next time.